Well, hello, my little creepies. Oh, yes. It's that time again. We talk about UFOs and Bigfoot, paranormal, true crime, and conspiracy stories, and all things creepy. Yes, this is The Creepy Show. You can find us online at creepy.show. And I'm your host, the Master of Creep.
Well, hello, my little creepies. It is I, the Master of Creep. Tonight's story is called Emily's Bend. Emily was born on a ranch near Monta Vista, California in the mid-60s, and she graduated from high school in 1980. She was just a farm girl, and she knew the life of a farmer. She was still living at home, but she would take trips once in a while on her own. Her favorite trip was to ride the train to visit her sister, Alice. Her sister was her older sister, and she had left home a few years before. Alice lived in Fremont, California, which was about 114 miles away. Now, Emily would get her mother to drive her to Jamestown, which was 8 miles away from their farm, and then she would catch a train and go to Fremont. The one thing you need to know about Emily is that she loved apples because she could pick them fresh from the tree. Now, Emily lived on a small farm just north of Clover's Apple Ranch. And of course, she would pay to pick the apples and never dreamed of stealing them. But before her visit to her sister, Emily would visit the apple farm and she picked a half a bushel basket full of apples. She wanted to take them to her sister's house. Now, this was about 75 apples. Alice loves getting apples, and she would make the best apple pie and cobbler in town. It was late October, and Emily was boarding a train headed toward Fremont, California. This was a very short trip. However, the train made stops at every town to pick up and drop off passengers. The train trip usually lasted about 3 hours. Emily had just picked apples to take to her sister's house, and she planned to stay there for a couple of weeks. It was a slow, uneventful trip until the train reached Sunol Valley. The train was approaching the Alameda Creek Bridge, and it was going about 45 miles per hour when the conductor saw some kids fishing on the bridge. But the conductor applied the emergency brake, and the train squealed to a stop. But unfortunately, Emily was walking down the train's aisle when this happened, and the quick stop sent her flying into a metal door at the end of the train car. The impact was disastrous, as she tripped and fell headfirst into the door handle. She was pronounced dead at the scene. The apples she had picked were broken and scattered all over the train car. The kids fishing on the bridge ran in the opposite direction and were never identified. Emily died on the train at the age of 20, just a few days after her birthday. Emily's death shocked the community. Her family was notified, and the pain was overwhelming. It was hard to believe that Emily was never coming home again. The train's conductor was only 8 months away from retiring. He had worked for the railroad for 33 years without a single accident. Well, he quit that day and he never stepped foot on the train again. The notice of Emily's death spread through the community, and many people started putting flowers on the ground next to the spot where Emily had lost her life. Now, a strange thing started happening. In early February of 1984, it was about 3 months after Emily had died on the train. A train was going through the exact same area when another accident was reported. Someone was hit on the tracks. The conductor was very upset and called the sheriff to report another death on the tracks. And as the news spread like a fire, local townspeople gathered at the train tracks. You could hear people talking in the crowd. What happened? It's another death. The train conductor and the sheriff started walking the tracks looking for the person who was reported hit, but no one was ever found. Maybe they were thrown off the tracks and maybe they're in the nearby grass area. So many of the townspeople joined in the search, but nobody was ever found. The sheriff asked the train conductor, "Well, how do you know that someone was hit?" And the conductor said, "When I came around the bend, there was a girl just standing on the tracks, holding a basket. She didn't even attempt to jump off the tracks. Well, there is no way that I could have missed her." And yet, no body was ever found, and no one was missing from the area. One of the townspeople said, "It sounds like Emily to me." And the sheriff was familiar with the Emily case because he had just worked on it 3 months ago. And the sheriff said, "Well, I can't put that in my report." After an exhaustive search of the area, it was determined that no one was hit. The sheriff interviewed the train conductor in more detail and learned that the person that he saw was dressed in a white veil and seemed to be just standing or even floating over the tracks. Well, the train was finally cleared to continue, and the conductor was relieved that nobody was killed. The news of the accident hit the newspapers. The newspaper reporter started calling that part of the track Emily's Bend. The article discussed the account of 3 months ago and the new accident where nobody was found. Well, it wasn't an accident. It was more like a sighting. Since no one was killed, then the case was closed. After reading the news article, many of the townspeople started talking about Emily and when it probably was her standing on the tracks that day. She must be coming back as a ghost. People started reporting seeing Emily on a regular basis. In fact, it happened so often that the local newspaper stopped reporting about it. It seems to be happening about every month. Someone would report seeing the ghost of Emily walking down the street. It would usually happen between midnight and 4 a.m. And they all said that she looked like a lost girl strolling down the street carrying a basket of apples. People also reported that they could actually smell apples whenever they saw her. And after a few years, the story became a local legend, with most people ignoring the reports. It was one of those sad events that many people just couldn't forget. Even the trains that came down past Emily's Bend would slow down to a crawl to prevent more accidents. The story of Emily would be forgotten for a few years and then occasionally reappear as more people would report seeing her. And just as the story of Emily started to die down again, the mayor reported seeing her at 2 a.m. as she was walking toward town from the tracks. She looked like a soft cloud that you could see through, but she was still solid enough to make out her shape. And yes, she was still carrying that basket of apples. Some claimed that the mayor was just trying to get some free publicity, while others believed him. The story made the local newspaper again with the mayor's sighting. A few of the townspeople decided to pull some money together and hire a ghost investigator to determine why Emily has decided to stay there. Why didn't she just move on? Well, the investigator reported that Emily was present, walking the tracks of the local town, and she was looking for a place that she could live without upsetting anyone. You see, it turns out that Emily was a very gentle and thoughtful ghost, and the investigator actually said that he has never seen a ghost this mild-tempered before. After several years, Emily finally finds a new home. It was the ghost of Emily, and she started showing up at a local grocery store near the tracks on a regular basis. Employees would report strange noises late at night as they closed the store. Emily's reputation as a gentle, caring ghost put most of the employees at ease. However, being in the store alone at nights was still pretty freaky. Most employees just didn't want to work late at night just to avoid the situation. Many times when the manager of the store unlocked the door to start the new day, he would find an apple on the counter. And after telling a few customers about this, the news started spreading around town, resulting in another newspaper article called Emily's Apples. And it turns out that many people were willing to pay top dollar for any apple that was placed on the counter overnight by Emily. While a regular apple would sell for about 50 cents, an Emily apple would sell for $5 or more. It was said that her apples were the absolute best. Sometimes she would pick out a green apple, and sometimes a yellow apple, but most of the time she would pick out a bright red one. And of course, the store loved the publicity, and that her apples were sold for 10 times more the money than regular apples. And then the store owner decided to stop selling Emily's apples. She decided to collect them each week and make an apple pie out of them. And a single slice of Emily's apple pie would sell for as much as $12. Well, that was more than 30 years ago, so I guess the price now would be closer to $100 per slice. During the late 80s, the apples stopped appearing on the counter. It seems that Emily has finally moved on. Well, maybe it's because her mother passed away in 1988, so now she has someone to spend her time with. You know, not all ghosts are scary. If my house were haunted, well, I would hope that it would be someone like Emily. This is a very unusual ghost story because most ghosts seem angry or violent. Some of them are even dangerous. Emily seemed to be a sweet girl who would never hurt a soul. She wasn't even interested in scaring people. Most ghosts seem to be angry because something or someone has killed them. Or perhaps they're just pure evil like a serial killer. With everything else being equal, I think I would rather have Emily leave me an apple rather than another ghost leaving me an axe stuck in my forehead in the middle of the night. Now, if you're old enough to remember the cartoon Casper the Friendly Ghost, well, Emily was a real live friendly ghost. Wait a second, that doesn't sound right. She wasn't live, she was dead.
As the casket closes on another creepy episode, we bid you farewell to the shadows that danced upon your fears. Oh, and thank you for joining us on this creepy journey into the unknown, where the darkness whispers secrets and the silence echoes within your soul. Find us online for some extra creepy content at creepy.show. And if you happen to make it through the night, don't forget to share this podcast with someone you want to terrorize. Good night, my little creepies. Sleep with one eye open, for the night is long and full of horror. Ha 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 ha